Welcome to the Gloria Show. Founder and CEO of Personal Dynamics, Gloria Sloan, shares strategies for personal development on command to enrich, elevate, and empower, aiming to help listeners become the best version of who they want to be. Gloria says ultra-successful people never stop reaching for new heights, learning new skills, and finding fulfillment. The Gloria Show will lift your spirits with inspiration, offering new insights into challenges that could be standing in the way of your success. So please, welcome your host, Gloria Sloan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gloria Show. I hope your week has started out to be amazing, good, and you are ready to jump into the Gloria Show for some enhancement in life. We have an amazing guest with us today, and we're going to talk about what we're missing as kids, what it means as adults. Our special guest today is Courageous Fire. Courageous Fire, and she has an amazing story of her journey and basic information that she's going to share with us. And what we see and things that happen to us, we often forget as children, they're embedded in us and they continue to be with us often for very long periods of time, even through adulthood. And so through transformation is how we're able to cope, to carry on. So our guest today is going to share her story, her journey, and give us some very, very valuable information in terms of ways that we can help with this transformative process. So let me welcome now our guest to the show for today, Courageous Fire. Hello, Courageous Fire. Welcome to the Gloria Show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Good. Well, I'm going to give the audience a little insight on what you're going to talk about today in the form of a little synopsis peek so that they can follow you in terms of when you start to express yourself, they'll know where you're coming from. As adults, we make many decisions based on what we've learned as our foundational knowledge was being formed. And if the foundation was infiltrated with harm, it rocks our worlds then and during our adulthood. We've been acclimated to start asking ourselves about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences. And many of those scores assume that the only thing that matter are the things that someone would rank as happening directly to us. But what about the incubator being infiltrated by the water we're swimming in? Not only that, but the actual attacks we receive during the incubation period. What about when we are exposed to violence because our mother's being abused by our father, or what long-term impact does that have on us? Or what about when our sibling is a victim of child sexual assault by a family member, and we grow up being raised by the perpetrator and seeking an unrequited relationship with that person as the surviving sibling? What are the long-term effects, and what is the impact that we have? And in being the latter, our guest today is going to show us, as a gift that she has today to be able to talk about it. And this implies that you are that other child. She's going to talk about if you are that other child, the survivor, or if you grew up with someone who was harmed whilst, supposedly in the gathering together. Here's your discovery and the validation, healing, and empowerment that she's going to offer, because she's speaking from experience, total experience. And that carries a lot of weight when someone can come to the table with the total experience, the knowledge, the hands-on, and have lived to speak about it, talk about it, and to help others who may be going through or have gone through same or similar situations. Before Courageous begins to speak to us. I want to tell you just a little bit about her. Courageous Fire is a transformative coach. She's an insightful author and a fierce advocate with over 12 years of experience turning lived experiences into educational gold. I love that, educational gold. She is a captivating speaker, poet, curriculum creator, whose voice inspires, uplifts, and enlightens. And when you hear her speak, you're gonna grasp it, you're gonna hear it. Whether working one-on-one or with small groups or large groups and communities of color or mainstream spaces, Courageous forges deep connections with audiences of all backgrounds and genders. Her presence sparks transformation, motivating others to embrace their potential and rewrite their stories. With each narrative lesson and performance, Courageous leaves a profound impact that makes people feel seen, validated, and ready to craft the outcome that they really, truly desire. And that's what we're going to experience with her today. Take it on, Courageous, and tell us about this transformation process.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, yeah, as a child, there were a couple of things I did not know at the time. So, number one, I didn't realize I was growing up in an abusive household with two abusive parents. Nobody was beating anybody, you know, the usual stuff that people think happens in those types of households wasn't happening. My parents were church leaders, highly respected. They were very educated, intelligent, well-spoken people. My father was a very charming man. My mother was very well-liked. So I didn't know that these two people were abusive. That's number one. Number two, I didn't realize that I was growing up in a household where child sexual assault was taking place. That was going on with my father and my sister. I didn't know that until she told me, I think I was 26 years old. And there was a dynamic, like a triangular dynamic that I didn't realize was happening between my mother, my sister, and me. I saw it, but I didn't understand it. So I saw that my mother was very kind and compassionate toward me, but I also saw that my mother was very short, very abrupt, very intolerant of my sister in comparison. And then I couldn't really make sense of that. And while I was trying to figure that out growing up, I also noticed that my sister didn't seem to like me. I don't just mean, you know, the sibling rivalry. There was just the two of us. She is 3 years older than me. So, you know, there's a little of that older sibling. I just want to do my own thing. I want my space. That we all understand that. But it was more than that. There were intentional moments of, I want to make you feel bad because it makes me feel good. There were intentional moments of, I'm going to make dad believe you did something wrong when I know it was me because I want to see him punish you. Like there were those moments and I couldn't make sense of them. I would watch older siblings with other younger siblings, and I saw a certain protectiveness and a certain just a certain thing of wanting to look out for them, wanting them to be okay. And I did not see any of that with my sister. She was very cold and very detached from me. So there was this strange little thing between my mom, my sister, and me that you would think with all of us being female, there would just be a natural cohesion, but there wasn't. There was this friction, and I never quite understood it. So when my sister told me about being a CSA survivor when I was 26, immediately I understood, oh, my mother looks at my sister as the other woman versus someone who was victimized, so she doesn't actually like her. And then I realized, oh, my sister knew what dad was doing to her, knew he wasn't doing it to me, and she doesn't like me. And even though that all hit me at 26, I was 26. We know about our brain development. Like, I literally had just finished up. Like, I just came out the oven the year before, you know what I mean? So even though those things hit me, I didn't understand their impact. So I want to fast forward from 26 all the way to 55. That was when my mother passed, and she was the last living parent. And I thought, okay, this is my chance because now mom's not here anymore. We don't have to, there doesn't have to be this friction of her trying to get mom's compassion, attention, kindness that she sees me getting and never getting it. That's over with because mom's gone. It's over. 2 years before mom died, I had stopped speaking to her because I asked her point blank, are you punishing my sister by being kind to me? Because I feel like you are. And she was quiet for a long period of time. And then she said, yep, that's a dirty shame. And she did nothing to change it. So I told her at the end of that conversation, I'm done. Because in my mind, you won't use me to harm anybody else, especially not my sister. Like, that's just my ethic. So if I have to be motherless for you to not be able to use me for that, I will be that. And so that's what happened. I didn't know those were the last 2 years of her life. They were. So at the funeral, my sister and I thought we're going to have this coming together moment of, hey, all of the bad guys are gone now. Let's be a family. And what ended up happening, and this is what made me write the book, This Is for the Other Child, was that I finally realized it wasn't just that my sister had been hurt. It wasn't just that my sister had been mistreated by both of our parents. It literally was, I don't ever plan to have you and I as two sisters be a unit. I don't ever plan to be happy when you're doing well. I don't ever plan for us to be good. I don't want to make something with you. And not only do I not want to make something with you, I'm never going to forgive you because it wasn't you. And she made that very clear. My book talks about the day after the funeral and how she invited me and my daughters over, supposedly for a family brunch. And she used the family brunch to allow her oldest daughter to ambush me and attack me verbally during the brunch. There's a lot of details that I put in the book, but the bottom line was I drove away the 6.5 hours back from St. Louis, Missouri to Des Moines, Iowa, really with the full realization of you're not going to fix that. She doesn't want it fixed. You're going to have to reconcile the fact that you really never had a family. And then you're going to have to give yourself permission to heal from that. And you're going to have to figure out how you're going to move forward from that. And so yeah, there were a lot of tears, a lot of screaming, a lot of everything. And my daughters had to watch it all because I'm the driver and they're in the car. But it gave me a level of permission that I had never had before because there was no dad and his perfection to live up to because he had been gone now. Dad's been gone for almost 20 years. There was no mom to miss anymore. And be sad that I don't get to tell mom moments too, because she's not here anymore. And now there's no expectation that I'm gonna have this running through the fields moment of me and my sister, and we spin each other around in a circle and fall down laughing and holding our sides. And you know, that's not gonna happen. So now it's time for me to get on with the process of accepting that feeling and finally stopping myself from chasing her. And as I wrote the book, I realized I've been waiting for this moment of deliverance. I've been waiting for this moment of emotional freedom. I've been waiting for this moment to just be me besides everybody else. I realized I've been waiting for this moment for 55 years, and now it's here. It hurts. But at the same time, it feels a whole lot better.
What a story. What a story. And so that's why you wrote the book, the title of it, This Is for the Other Child. Is that's the title.
Yes.
So let's talk about just what you just went into in as much detail as you could. For all of your life, you were involved in this in the family home, but during that time, you knew it was something, but you didn't really know the details of what was going on. You really did not know. You had no idea. It was everything was secretive between your mom, your dad, your sister. So do you wonder what made the conversation? I'm just wondering, for your sister to tell you at the age of 26, was this just in a passive conversation? It just came out? I'm just asking.
Yeah, no. So a couple of things. Number one, I didn't know, but some part of me did know. I was her younger sister, 3 years younger, and I remember as young as four, I started sleepwalking, my parents told me. And I would only go one place. I would have my pillow over my shoulder, and I would take that pillow, and I would get under my sister's bed, and I would go to sleep there. Now, I don't remember doing any of that, but I do remember somewhere around 7 or 8. And for the rest of our lives up until last year, I've always protected her, even though she's older than me. If anybody messed with her, I stepped up. If she had a problem, I would solve it. When I started learning how to cook, I would cook for her and me. When we became adults and she started, doing different businesses or whatever, I would support her. When she started doing things musically and she would ask me to come and do things for her that I would typically charge for, I would always do them for free and I would run all around in circles to get it done for her. Like I would just do this whole hovering thing that you would expect an older sibling to do. And I think I realized somehow that she was being harmed and I wasn't, and I should protect her. So I didn't know, but I think somehow I sensed something was wrong. The other thing was my parents had just spent 2 weeks with me. At this time in my life, I lived in South Florida, and my parents had spent 2 weeks with me. After they left my house, they went back home to Des Moines. My sister had the, usual coming of understanding of what she had buried, like most CSA survivors. It's too nightmarish. She buried in it, and at that point, it had come back through nightmares and whatnot, and she confronted my parents. And so, right after she confronted them, they were like, "Well, don't you say anything to your sister. You better not say anything." So that night, she literally called me whispering on the phone. Even though she was in her own home, she's a grown woman, married with kids. She was like, "Hey, I need to tell you." That's why. That's what prompted it. She was tired of being told what she couldn't say.
And that's when
Finally
she
told her.
told you. She was at that time 29, you were 26, and she needed to get that load off of her. But fast forwarding, as it happened, and you became still sisters living with this, you say she extended an invitation to you, and this was after your mother's death, to you and your daughters to come and see her. And it just kind of blew up again. And that's when you had the realization that, okay, this is going to end. I mean, this is the way the story is. So that's when it happened. So courageous for you to now come out and write this book. How long has your book been out?
August of 24.
August of 24. So to write this book and to present it, how has your sister reacted to the book, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't know.
Does she
I
know
don't
about
know.
it?
When I don't know.
Oh, go, because
There
you
are
have a
times
daughter.
that,
Okay.
yeah, that there are
I
times
know
when
that's
I
an off
see.
question, but
Yeah, no, it's not. There are times when I see that there are visitors from Kansas City, Missouri, or O'Fallon, Missouri, or whatever, and that could be her, or St. Louis, Missouri, to the site, and they're actually visiting the page where I talk about the book. I don't know if she's seen it. When I came back, I kind of left her husband, and two of the girls kind of a cryptic message of thank you for helping me to understand something I finally needed to see, and I didn't say anything else, and I don't intend to ever speak to them again because I know that that's not a safe place for me.
Okay, so knowing this, what's the book really about, and why do you feel you are the right person to write such a book? I mean, I get the background and I get the understanding, but what's it about, and what really makes you the right person to write about this book, in from a transformation aspect of it, I'm asking.
Absolutely. I appreciate that question. So yeah, it's not just this was so painful. I really have a problem with books that just talk about pain. I do. Because the human condition, every single human that hears about pain wants to know how you fix that. Right? And so I knew, okay, I need to be able to talk about, first of all, how you recognize that about yourself. I need people to understand the impact of it so that they can find the markers that might help them see who they are. And then I need people to understand that you can be empowered by it. You can be healed by it. You can get stronger from it. It's not just this Mack truck that runs you down and that's the end of it. It doesn't have to be that way. And so for me, again, I talked about in my bio that, like, literally, that's how I'm wired. If something horrible happens to me, as I'm pulling out of it, I'm marking mentally the steps that allowed me to conquer that thing. And I can always go back then and share the steps. So the book has the steps, like the steps of discovery, the steps of healing, the steps of validation, and the steps of empowerment. And they're simple, they're straightforward, they're easy to follow, and they're very plain spoken. Like, I don't talk in circles that people can't understand. I say what I'm saying so that you can get it. And I think that that's important about pain. It's not just that it was painful, it's that there can be steps to heal, be empowered, and be stronger for it.
Very good. Well, I can appreciate that, because when you're writing information from a self-help, because being an author with the with writing about self-help, it has to be clear, it has to be understandable, and it has to be helpful so the reader can follow it. And certainly when you were talking about transformation, that's a huge step, because people often don't really understand what it takes in any shape or form to transform. You have to really understand what transformation is and how a person can take the human body, the mind, the soul, and take it from one space that it is and gradually get it to a more comfortable place or where you want to be. So, what made you write the book? I mean, because that's a lot of information when you're writing from a personal experience. When you're writing from the heart, you're writing from what actually happened to you. This isn't, some fiction. This is true. So what made you write the book? And I'm just coming at this in simple form. Was it because of the experience you lived yourself? Is it because you really want to help people? Just answer in your own words, and maybe you can explain it in your own terms, why or what made you write the book, and why now? Why then? What book at that time?
Absolutely. So why at that time was because it was fresh. I wanted to make sure that the details were fresh. I wanted to make sure that the feeling was fresh. And I knew I was going to do an audiobook. And so I wanted it to resonate in my inflections. I didn't want it to be stale. And the reason why I wanted to make sure I narrated my own audiobook and did it then was because I wanted the listener to know that it is okay to acknowledge pain. It's not something that has to take you out. Most people think, oh my God, if I let myself feel it, I'm never going to get up from it. And that's not true. Honestly, I believe just the opposite is true, is that when you don't acknowledge pain, at some point it mows you down and you don't get up because it's had all of this time to build up momentum. But I wanted to write the book. Why did I want to write it? Because number one, I needed to be able to speak, right? I had spent all of my childhood, all of my adulthood not talking because I felt like it wasn't my place. Like, I should just be grateful that he didn't do it to me. And, you know, yeah, sometimes she's really mean. Yeah, sometimes she's this, that, and the other. But I should just be grateful. So it's not my place to talk about how I feel or how she makes me feel. That would be selfish. That would be wrong. And it's never wrong to acknowledge yourself. It is never wrong to do that. No matter how much pain someone else is having, if you're having pain also, please acknowledge that. And so I needed to be able to do that with an audience, honestly. So some of that was absolutely self-serving. I need to scream out loud and I need other humans to hear it. Number one. And then number two, I needed for the other OCs, I call them, to hear themselves in me so that they wouldn't feel isolated the way I felt for decades, so that they wouldn't feel like, you know, they were weird or strange or other-ish for the feelings that they were having. I wanted them to read that and go, oh my God, me too. Because when we hear that Me Too, I mean, the Me Too movement worked for a reason. It allowed people to feel like they were a part of a family, even if it was a family pain. So I wanted the OCs to see themselves.
Because you know that there are still a lot of people, a lot of children growing up in that environment, unfortunately, and who are helpless, and they grow up to be hurting adults. They get out of this situation, but until they have help, and I've known, talked to many people who have had therapy, they've gone through situations, and they, when they do confess, well, this is what happened in my childhood, it has a long lasting and often a forever effect that people don't realize. There are some adults who go through and are going through a lot of their adult life in therapy for things that happened to them as a child. They continue to do therapeutic processes in many different stages in order to take on a life and live normal as they can, having those bad, painful experiences in their childhood. And for the most part, I've talked to people who they want to do it in a protective sense so that when they become a parent, and maybe you can relate to that, when they become a parent, they want to know. I mean, it's like you want to know what to look for, you know, and because parenting in itself, you know, has a lot of things that we have to know about. But when you come from a situation where it's been hands-on, can you imagine all the things that you want to make sure that your child is not in any stretch of the imagination, you know, whether it's somebody you know, a friend, a family member? Well, what I want to ask you, who's the book directly for? Is it for the adult now that you're talking about, you? Is it for a family? I mean, who will benefit the most from your book?
I intended for the OCs, the other child, as adults to benefit the most from it. You got a lot of people walking around here not knowing where this impact is coming from. And I want them to know that. So that was primarily who I wanted to get the most benefit. But the secondary folks that I wanted to get it were the ones that are, I call them like the second string. Like, who are the attendees to these OCs? Like, their therapists, their healthcare providers, their social workers, their friends. Are there parents of OCs right now who are still children? I need them to be able to spot signs. Right. Because a lot of times if we know that there's a child sexual assault survivor, if we know it and we're parents, then we go, OK, I'm going to do what I should for this child, hopefully. But then we think that child is the only child who needs anything. And that's not true. I want them to know, look out for your other kids, too, because here's the things they're dealing with. And if you don't help them, this is what their adulthood is going to look like.
What it's going to look like. Well, Courageous, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, there are two things that I want us to do before we wrap up. I hope you have a copy of your book on hand so that you can let us see what the book looks like. And, you know, I want you to tell me who, you know, what do you want to do with the book now in its sense and moving forward, and what your hopes are to help other people in this situation. We're going to address that when we come back from the break, but I know it has probably taken a lot for you to come out with your story, to talk about it. You've lived with it. And I just want you to know that I hear you. And I hope that what you're saying on the Gloria Show is going to be impactful and empower someone else, someone who's listening to this, someone else who may have had same or similar situation as you, or maybe there's someone who's dealing with it right now, because we often don't know. But you have a message. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the book and what you want the book and your message to do moving forward. Going to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
Have you tuned into the hottest personal development podcast by the incredible Gloria Sloan? If you're ready to grow, elevate, and upgrade your life, then the Gloria Show is your ticket to success. Gloria believes ultra-successful people never stop reaching for new heights, learning new skills, and finding true fulfillment. If you're looking for a fresh, informed perspective on life, the Gloria Show is here to lift your spirits and tackle the challenges standing in the way of your success. Each week, join Gloria as she brings her energy, insight, and over 3 decades of experience in business management and personal growth to help you unleash your power and transform your life. From personal development and career transitions to self-improvement and leadership, Gloria covers it all with practical advice and powerful resources. Laugh, cry, and be inspired as you learn how to elevate yourself to new heights. Whether you're looking to become healthier, happier, or more successful, Gloria's got you covered, so why wait? Tune into The Gloria Show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on any of the Bold Brave TV social media platforms and start your journey to becoming the best version of you. Don't miss out on the ultimate guide to personal and professional growth. Listen weekly and let Gloria Sloan help you upgrade your life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And thank you again for joining us on the Gloria Show today, who we are talking with Courageous Fire, who has an amazing story about her childhood, how she grew up, and now how she continues to face and deal with the issues that she was living with as a child. And now in her adult life, she's written a book for the other child, I believe, the title of the book. And, you know, she's talking about how this transformation process in her own life can be helpful to maybe someone else. And so I want you to tell the audience again, Courageous Fire, in your own words, what do you want this book to do for someone who reads it? What do you hope to see the book do, and how they can get it, and things in the book that they'll learn? You talked a little bit about it, but let us see the book. I want to see the cover of the book.
So this is,
Is for the other child. This is for the other child. That's the title, Courageous Fire, CHW. This is for the other child. And it's been out just not quite a year, not a year yet?
Not a year yet. It'll be a year in August.
Okay. So what do you hope to see this book do for other people?
Absolutely. So Number one, I wanted to give voice. Number one, I want OCs to be able to take their voice back. I want them to feel empowered to center their needs. That's the biggest theme of this book, is that it is something that you need to do as the OC. You need to center your own needs. What are your needs because of your sibling being a child sexual assault survivor? What happened to you? What do you need because those things happened to you? And then there are chapters in the book that talk about the ways that you can get that support. So that is the biggest thing that I want that to happen. There are parts in the book where I talk about different things that I knew. And then when I knew certain things, what I tried to fix. And then when I decided to stop trying to fix them, as I hit those different milestones, I'm hoping that they will see their own moments. And I'm hoping that they will allow themselves permission to release themselves from those moments. You don't have to fix anything, right? You don't have to take on anything. It doesn't matter that you were not the direct child sexual assault victim. You were still victimized because that was going on in your home and with a sibling or siblings of yours. So there are things that you need to heal. Center that. There are things that you've been doing for those siblings. Stop doing those things if they're not serving you, and give yourself permission to figure out what does. The other thing that I want to see happen from this book is lots and lots of lectures, right? I want to be able to talk to all of the folks that are going to surround and support and help heal those OCs, whether it's parents of children, whether it's parents of adult children that need to do some things and own up to some things, acknowledge some things, whether it's therapists, whether it is domestic violence advocates that need to start asking different questions. There is one study that shows that other children often grow up to be domestic violence survivors, which I am, right? Because it sets the stage for you not to center your needs and to be victimized by someone else. So I'm hoping that all of the surrounding cast for OCs will learn that they need to maybe change their intake and ask other questions. They maybe need to start exploring certain things in families of origin to make sure they're not missing certain things as social workers and all those different types of people. That's what I'm hoping that will happen for both sets.
Okay. I have just one question before we conclude. Is there anything in the book that talks about the signs? I mean, growing up all your life, and you say you didn't recognize anything, you didn't know anything was going on, but, you know, now as an adult, maybe things trigger in your mind. You know, you did say you used to sleepwalk and things like that, but is there anything in the book that directly pinpoints, like, the signs, things that happened? Well, your sign was your sister treated you differently and your mother treated you differently. You know, I don't know, you didn't speak too much about how your father treated you, but I'm saying sometimes if there are signs that people can recognize or they know what to look for, because abuse is abuse. And it, we all know it comes in different forms and stages, and adults who abusers are good at covering up, doing things, make,
oh boy.
Yeah, and I'm sure you lived that. But, you know, in the book, I'm sure your chapters address certain things, but the pinpointers, when you know that something is suspicious going on in your home or in a family home, a family member's home or something, and like you say, the social workers, the people that you can call and talk to, but the triggers, what is there anything that people could look out for that's written in the book?
Yes, there are times that I talk about in the book, like there are specific bolded moments in the book that tell you, this is how I knew. This is how I knew.
Okay.
This is how I knew. When I didn't know I knew, this is how I knew, right? One of the things that I've talked to a couple of foster parents about, where they were like, courageous, do you think you could write a book for us where we could have like these specific markers? And I'm like, yes, in lieu of that, because that's in the works, that book is being written. But before that book comes out, I'm doing sessions and lectures and different things like that. So I can give away the book as a part of the lecture with it highlighted and notes in the margins of this is a sign, this is a sign, this is a sign. So then that way, these folks can take that as their textbook, as their reference manual, and be able to look out for signs. There's also, I should show you, there's also the OC Journal. And all of this is on Amazon. So if you type in, this is for the other child, you'll see that there is already an OC series. This is the journal. So when people get a chance to start seeing themselves in my story, it can be scary and painful. I wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity after the discoveries to then do some self-care. So I call it OC duty at the end of every journaling exercise in the journal, where they can actually put back, pour back, restore, build back up. Because those understandings leave you raw.
That is very, very good and very helpful. It's good to know that there is an accompanying journal that they can use to help in addition to the book. Well, Courageous, this has been bold and courageous of you to come and share your story. And I hope you don't mind me saying it like that, because I know it's your life. You lived it. And I don't say that being short of anyone's journey, because we all come from different paths, different backgrounds, but they can all be similar and same when we're trying to transform into getting better, to be better, to know more, so that we can live productive and fulfilled lives. And this is what your book and what you're doing now, you are presenting a way that anyone who has lived with pain to recognize it, come forward with it, and a way to transform into something better, to grow, to be better, know better, have more, and have fulfillment. Thank you so very much for coming and sharing your story. And again, I want the audience to know that they can get your book on Amazon or directly to your website. What information or last tip would you like to leave the audience with in terms of being able to get in touch with you if they want to book you to speak, or if they want to get your book, or if they want general information or whatever services you offer? Let the audience know how they can do that.
I appreciate that. So yeah, the easiest way to get me is my website, C as in my first name, Courageous, Fire as in my last name, LLC.com. CFireLLC.com is where you can find it.
They can go there. I've been on the site. I'm going back again to look at it again. I know about the journal. I don't know how I missed that, but I will do that. Thank you again so very much for being on the Gloria Show. And we just hope you wish you well in all that you're doing to bring this transformation process about the other in its perspective, because you've done a good job in presenting that on the show today. Thank you again so very much for being here. Come back to see us again sometime. Okay, goodbye. Good. On our show today, she was presented doing her and you know, it's to go through as children growing up, and we never always know how it's going up, but she has an amazing story, and I and to check out her book and look for ways that you in a transformation process. Very helpful information. It's a second edition of more info about that, the long book coming out is just a another gift that will help growth journey. And I am so excited to be able to first version of Life Skills Powerful. It has more in-depth knowledge and So we had a great show today talking with Courageous Fire about her story, her transformative journey, what she lived with during her childhood, and how she's overcoming that now by the book she has written for the other child. So I hope that you would take her information, look her up on her website, and grab a copy of her book that will help you if you are in need of additional information being in an abusive situation as a child growing up. But before we leave, I want to tell you about the upcoming second edition of Life Skills for the Journey. Yes, it's going to be launching soon, and you're going to hear more information about the second edition of Life Skills for the Journey. It's another addition to the book that I've written that's empowering your personal growth. Your personal development becomes your life and is your evolution. And it's a conscious choice for your self-improvement. So this second edition is going to be even more empowering. It's going to offer more for you. It's going to have a workbook. I am thrilled and so excited to be able to roll it out and show it to you soon. We're going to be talking about it for the next few weeks at the end of the show, and we're going to put the date down for the launch date. So stay tuned, because you don't want to miss the launch party for the upcoming second edition of Life Skills for the Journey. It's talking about how to elevate and upgrade your life. And it has more amazing, helpful information that's going to help you. And we're going to be celebrating that in conjunction with 1 year of this show. The Gloria Show turns one next month in May. And so I am so excited to pack all of this, the second edition of the book, as well as being on this show for 1 year. I'm going to continue doing what we do here, to help people to grow, to have personal growth, ways to do it. You're going to enjoy the second edition of the book Life Skills for the Journey, because it's going to take you higher to another level on your journey. You don't want to miss it. It comes with the workbook, and I've just put a lot of stuff in there that's going to be good for you and good to you. So until next week, thank you so much for joining the Gloria Show, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Goodbye for now.
This has been the Gloria Show with host Gloria Sloan. Tune in each week as Gloria will help you to unleash your power and improve your personal and professional life. Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Bold Brave TV Network, powered by B2 Studios.